Welcome to another news. I'm Jeff Brady. Today we talk with someone who has been filming the moon, the sun, chemplanes, and UFOs, and posting the videos with analysis to YouTube. His handle is Crow777, spelled CROW777. And he challenges the very basic science that many of us have learned about the Earth, its size, and its distance from the sun and the moon. Imagine if the moon, commonly thought of as a solid object orbiting our Earth, is actually a holographic projection with a periodic refresh rate. Crow777 has caught on video something he calls the lunar wave, and it's about to happen again this month. There are other skywatchers around the country who have also filmed this anomaly that looks like a wavy horizontal line moving from bottom to top on the face of the moon. We also talk about one of the 101 reasons why our atmosphere is being deliberately sprayed by chemical aerosols, specifically to obscure and mask astronomical events. Remember Mark Passio's speech titled Free Energy from Suppression to Manifestation? Who was that influential to take Tesla out of schools? On some level, however minute, it's critical to gather video and photographic evidence on your own to collaborate and compare with others. This is an exciting area where breakthroughs can occur, raising important questions based on empirical evidence. Crow777 joins us now from California. Welcome to Another News.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, Crow777 is your YouTube handle. Could you give listeners some background on your work from pointing your camera to the sky during the day and night?
Well, I guess I'm probably best known for the lunar wave and catching kind of these anomalous objects transiting in between my scope and the moon. I'm pretty well known for telescope work. A lot of my footage is shot through anywhere from an 8-inch up to a 12-inch telescope. I guess I started in 2012, the night of the supermoon. We saw these triangles transiting optically, and the next day I went out to go get stuff to film. And I wasn't sure I'd ever catch anything like that again. But I've caught many things since then because I stuck with it. So, I mean, the short answer is I think the thing I'm best known for is the lunar wave, but my chemtrail work and my kind of anomalous objects work is certainly up there.
I understand the lunar wave is coming up this month, but can you tell listeners what the lunar wave is and what you captured?
I wish I could tell them what it is. I can tell you what I captured, and I do have theories, but I think the important thing is that people understand that there's this thing going on with the moon that no one was really aware of before I captured it. At the fall equinox of 2012, I filmed two waves starting at the bottom of the moon and proceeding up to the top of the moon. When it first happened, I thought it was equipment failure. There are people still today trying to push that it's equipment failure, but it's been pretty much proven, excuse me, that it's a filmed event, that the waves that go across the moon do not cover the whole video frame. A video engineer pointed this out first. There are energy pulses and all these things that kind of tell us it's local to the moon. And what it looks like is it looks like if you had an old VHS video system, it almost looks like a refresh line, like the moon is being refreshed. And that's kind of the best description I can give of it. But anyone can go to my channel and see the footage.
Yes. Okay. What are some of your theories on what this could be?
It took me a while to understand what it was, a few weeks. And I had kind of an epiphany one night when I realized that the camera pan, just by chance that it occurred when the wave started, proved that it was a filmed event. Things went forward from there. And in 2015, I found some Russian research that was sent to me. And in this, the guy seemingly is outlining things that I had already come to believe are true about the lunar wave. To be fair, he says a lot of things that I will not stand behind. I have no way to vet it. He was supposed to have been in secret government positions. I don't know. There's a blog out there called Sage Sigma Blogspot, or maybe it's sagesigma.blog.com, something like that. Mm-hmm. And he's taken it upon himself to translate. But to get back to it, what it pretty much demonstrates, or is one piece of the evidence that demonstrates to me, that the moon is not a rock in space. And though I'm not a religious person to any degree, the Bible is stating outright what I believe is correct. It's a light. That's what the moon is. And in the biblical kind of descriptions of the sun and moon, it is referred to as, I believe, the lesser light. And though I don't quote the Bible because it just tends to start controversy, it is a description that seems to fit what's going on here.
If you think this is a light, how do you start to discuss the concepts of gravity in conjunction with the moon and the Earth?
Well, I mean, if you really dig into what NASA is presenting us with, and by the way, I accept nothing from NASA. No data will I accept from NASA. They've lied too many times. Having said that, they're telling us that the mass of the moon is about 1% of the Earth. So, I mean, if you start to think about that, wouldn't the sun have a larger influence on us than the moon if the moon only has a 1% mass? I mean, you can kind of go down all these arguable dead-end points, but at the end of the day, there's a system in place that controls all this. So the question becomes, is it the system we've been told about, or is it possible there's a different system? And I am firmly in the team that's considering that there's an entirely different system running the things we see in our world.
Would you suspect the illusion of the moon is covering up? Is there something actually in its place?
You know, I've gone through this and I've looked at other research. There was a time when I was looking into the idea that there was a black cube, kind of a control center behind it. And I think that has some merit to be thought about and looked into for reasons that in areas of research that I've done have really nothing to do with what we're talking about here, which is a very great way to kind of vet things, is to find things that are ancillary and not directly related. If there is a system at work, it seems like you wouldn't just put a light up there for the sake of having a light up there, right? And I've always considered that it's probably covering some kind of a control center that is, in fact, running the systems that we see. In the Russian research, seems like he's saying that the wave I filmed was some sort of a system download to the planet. I don't know about all that. I've never been a member of a secret society or held secret positions in a government, so I don't have a way to vet that. I can only go by what I have filmed. And what I think is going on is that when you look at what we've been told about the moon landings, anyone who looks at that with an open mind can instantly, well, near instantly, come to the conclusion that there's endless problems. If you dig into it far enough, you can understand that there was no moon landing. When you begin to consider why those things would be lied about and take it further and relate it to the things I've filmed and other things that people have found, mm-hmm. You come to the conclusion that the moon cannot be landed on. And if you keep going, you'll come to the conclusion that nobody leaves low Earth orbit, that these rockets go up. There is no footage of a rocket going all the way. And that makes no sense in the age of high-def video. Every amazing thing that's done is recorded in high-def. What we see in rocket launches is rockets arcing hard, and there's, of course, a NASA explanation of why this has to be done. But the thing is, the video always cuts after the hard arc, and quite often they appear to be coming back down when the video cuts. So it's a very strange thing that there is no uncut video of a rocket going all the way. And I've stated for a long time, I don't believe anyone leaves low Earth orbit or goes higher than low Earth orbit.
You mean a manned spacecraft?
Anything. I don't even think machines do it. I think that all the kind of, you know, with all the thousands of hours of filming I've done, people will say the rarest thing you can try to film is the lunar wave. It's a very difficult thing to film. When you consider satellites, you would think, well, that's got to be easier than lunar wave to film. Truth is, it is not. I only have a possible two clips that could possibly look similar to what the description of a satellite is, be traveling the right speed on the right trajectory. Well, let me cut to the chase. What I'm telling you is it is easier to film a lunar wave than to get a satellite transiting the moon that you can ID. I've never done it. I've come close on two, but then one was a microsatellite. So, I mean, it was the cube was like a square foot or something. There's no way I'm shooting something with my telescope at hundreds of a mile, you know, like 300 miles that's only a square foot. So that kind of knocked that one out of possibility. The other one was the Bright PL satellite, and that was filmed from two states. So in all this time, years of filming, that is the only object that even resembles what a satellite description is, or the speed or the trajectory. So, I mean, you begin to question the description we've been given of satellites. Is that correct? And I think common sense dictates that we question it.
You believe that we have the International Space Station up there, and that's orbiting?
No.
Okay, and that the space shuttle has lifted off and linked to the International Space Station, and astronauts have been up in the shuttle, et cetera. I mean,
I think it's all stagecraft.
All of it.
All of it. I mean, there are plenty of channels that break down the endless problems with ISS astronaut footage. It's been demonstrated ad nauseum that they're faking this footage. Not too long ago, the Chinese got caught red-handed showing footage that they were claiming were their astronauts in space, and lo and behold, bubbles were coming out of their suits and around them. It was shot in a pool, and they were passing that off as astronauts in space. Few people understand that one of the big pools where they have a mock-up of the ISS, there's a big green screen in that pool. It's all stagecraft. If you critically look at the footage you're being presented with from space, you will quickly come to the conclusion that the really good weightless environment footage never lasts very long. And the theory is that's because the Vomit Comet, that airplane that goes to zero Gs, has a mock-up inside it, and that's what they're using. There have been people who have demonstrated wire systems, like the kind of kung fu movie wire systems they use. And then, of course, there's the old tired one of the female astronaut's hair that seems to be plastered or permed straight up. And to top it off, there is also plenty of footage where it looks like they're being suspended upside down. Their faces are puffy, their eyes are squinty. It's all stagecraft. There is nobody in space. You can't get to space. And I have said for a long time that NASA's main mission is to ensure that you know nothing about what is above the blue sky you see.
I'm curious now about your thoughts on why would they even use stagecraft? What's the point?
You know, it's a good question, but it almost seems like as we went through the timeline through the 50s that space travel was expected, you know. Everyone was waiting for the flying car and the rocket pack. I can't really answer why you make up big lies like this. Other than, you know, if you look at any device that flies, there's a progression, right? You start with the Wright brothers, things get better, better, better. Pretty soon we got jets, and, you know, there's a progression there. So maybe the expectation was that we were going to be in space. Why they began to say we were going to be in space, I have no idea. But to this day, there is no footage of anyone leaving this planet, and there is plenty of footage demonstrating that the kind of space shots in the ISS are stagecraft. In my view, NASA has been caught lying so many times, we can't accept anything from them. I mean, on my trip, I just went to the Johnson Space Center, and it was like a kind of very dimly lit poor man's Disneyland. And when I walked in, one of the first things I saw was the Star Trek space shuttle. And I just thought to myself, this kind of encapsulates it, you know? If we're talking about a reality-based space program that's doing important things, going to other worlds, putting rovers on other worlds, what place does TV entertainment have in any of it? And lo and behold, the shuttle from Star Trek is Galileo, and that's supposed to be one of the first I mean, it's just, it's a very bizarre thing when you critically look at what you're being presented with in places like this. And, if, you know, a critically thinking person can only walk away thinking this is all fraud. I mean, it just is. There is nothing amazing in these places.
What are your thoughts on the Columbia explosion in mid-flight over Texas? And then there was the Fox News cameraman panned across to shoot some of the debris falling and caught a giant UFO sitting there. and it was weird because he was filming it for maybe a minute or 30 seconds, and then he took the camera off it really quickly because it was live. Was that staged, or do you think that's connected to not being able to leave the planet?
No, I think it's staged, and there are people who have even gone out to try to demonstrate that the supposed astronauts that were killed in that explosion, well, staged explosion in my view, are still around, and actually were on the other, each of them were on the other space shuttle that blew up. I mean, you can go look this up on YouTube. There's pictures of people who were on another crew, same races, same genders, very similar looking people. And I know that's not definitive proof, but when you're already of the mind that NASA is staging everything, and lying to people because they can't get out in space for whatever reason, whether it's like going too deep in the ocean or whatever that reason may be, they're just kind of not getting away with it. Too many people are looking, and When I was at the Space Center, they would not allow you into the museum where the supposed space rocks were until they forced you to sit down in a theater and watch this very loud programming kind of film that kind of preps you to go see these moon rocks. But one of the things they did in there was they made this big dramatic thing about the shuttle explosion. So you're being bombarded with all this loud soundtrack, you know, kind of programming all the people in there. And all of a sudden, the space shuttle explodes, and the music just stops. And you can just see the manipulation. You can hear it in the audience. Everyone's all, oh. And when this whole thing is over, and by the way, they start this movie by saying, you may not film this, take pictures, you know, nothing. And so why? This is public domain. Americans paid for this, supposedly. Why is it that we can't have footage of people in space, footage of shuttle explosions? You know, why is all this stuff so secret? You can't film it. But anyhow, this all goes on, then the lights come up, and the doors unlock to allow you back into the part of the museum where these supposed space rocks are. It's just a giant manipulation. It's not a reality-based thing where, you know, we did these amazing things, come on in and see these amazing things we did. It's like a cattle call where you're kind of steered through and you're looking at TV entertainment and programming videos, and then you're allowed to go in and see the space rocks. You know, it's like a big preparation. Very strange. The whole kind of experience there was very strange.
I wanted to mention, I was at the Space Museum in Washington, D.C., and they had the lunar module. One of the big issues of the controversy of landing on the moon was the blast crater. There was no blast crater below the lunar module that landed
right.
on it. In this museum, there was an artist's rendering of a blast crater, which I thought, what? An artist had rendered one in this museum below the lunar module. And I thought, this is interesting.
Well, I mean, this kind of thing crops up all the time. I just did a clip where I stated that the Pluto mission, this whole big worldwide ramp up of media that, wow, we went to Pluto, that it was just a fraud. And one of the things I included in the video was in 1979, a guy named Don Dixon painted what they thought Pluto might look like someday when they got there. And you've got to realize there was no Hubble, not that I believe the Hubble's real, but none of these kind of claimed instruments available. So what they could see was from ground-based scopes, which was a very, very dim light. That's what they could see. No color, no features, no nothing. I have looked at Pluto through my scope, and it's about the dimmest damn little light you'll ever see. It's so dim, you're not even sure you're looking at the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Without a tracking scope, you'd have a heck of a time finding it. Point is, Don Dixon in 79 paints this picture of Pluto. Lo and behold, they get to Pluto, and it looks just like the Don Dixon painting from 1979. And so many people picked up on this that Don Dixon himself had to put out a statement. And I was being interviewed on the Higher Side chat when this came out. We found out while we were doing the interview, and we all started laughing because he was talking about what we were calling pixie dust. These exotic dusts were falling, and we had a good idea. Point is, 3 days before, it was this major revolution that, you know, revelation, Pluto was red like Mars. Well, Don Dixon painted it red in 1979. Even the craters are similar. The image of Pluto they presented us with has like a heart shape, which is reminiscent from the movie Hancock, where they put a heart on the moon. But in the Don Dixon imagery, even there's a little heart shape. And it goes on and on and on, these just kind of shenanigans that they're playing with the public and the world.
Indeed. And you reference Hollywood and films. And then you have The Truman Show, where the observation into Truman's life, the main headquarters, was in the moon.
Of course it was. You know, this is the kind of, I mean, it's almost like they're showing you inside glimpses and then walking away. Well, we tried to show the stupid monkeys, but they just weren't smart enough to get it. You know, it almost feels like that. It's strange. It goes on. And, I mean, we're not even talking about the kind of numbers coding that goes into all these events. And, you know, in the Pluto clip I just did, I was looking at, they tell us there's what's called a Kuiper belt beyond Pluto, which is just debris, all this stuff floating around out there. And I just started busting up when I read that two of the larger objects further than Pluto, near the size of Pluto, we are told, one was named Easter Bunny and the other one Santa. And so here I am making this clip, and I said, wait a minute, is this serious business? Are we talking about serious space exploration? Are we talking about getting to a planet for the first time? What are we talking about? Because naming things Easter Bunny and Santa seems like they're making fun of us. And then one of the commenters on my channel pointed out, well, none of the objects are from real characters, in which he has a point. Jupiter, you know, those are mythical things. You go all the way down the line. But when you begin to tell yourself that words have meaning and there is intent in words, and you see the kind of things NASA are doing, you quickly understand what NASA is doing. It's all shenanigans.
Who do you think is behind this level of manipulation? Are these initiates of some type that are involved behind the scenes working with NASA? What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's kind of an unknowable question that you've just asked me, but I would point out, I've talked with plenty of people who have had jobs at NASA, and I think the average person, even people who are in Masonic lodges, I think the average people are family men, men and women, doing their job, raising a family, and maybe they are an engineer for some Saturn rocket or something. I think they are doing the job that they think they're doing. I think this is all done at a much higher level, and I don't think it's anything new. I think this has been going on as long, you know, from the times of kings and queens to the time of Rome, you know, if there is such a thing. I think this has always been the case with the ruling class who very early on in human history had all the money, all the wealth, all the knowledge. I mean, you see it in movies all the time, don't you, where the kind of royal family or the upper-level family, everyone speaks five languages, yet the common man can't even read, right? There's a big disparity portrayed there. And I think this kind of thing has gone on from the beginning, and I think it's the elite. But the people who are the workaday people doing their jobs, I don't think they have any inkling about what's going on. And, you know, it's understandable. When you're trained for a job, you take that seriously. When you do your job, you do the best you can. So I don't think there's any collusion by common people who may be inside the walls of NASA working right now. But at the top level, there's absolute fraud going on.
Do you suspect that video channels like yours and others who can get some of this information out to those particular people, do you think there could be an awakening within those walls?
Yeah, I think it's just on a person-by-person basis. You know, there is kind of an awareness growing. So many people can no longer watch TV when for decades people watched TV and didn't think anything of it. Now people have kind of woken up to what TV is really about. You know, I've done videos where people came and they gave me dates as if it was their birthday. You know, that important to them to state, this is the day that I no longer watch TV. It's a crazy thing. These are people who finally understood what that little black box is doing. It's programming a society. And if you really consider the role of Hollywood and, you know, shows like Happy Days, they really do shape a culture and a nation and a worldview of what people think America is like. Can you imagine what our country would be like without these kind of culture-shaping influences that are aimed at a mass audience? And when I say mass audience, I mean hundreds of millions of people, now a global audience. So, yeah, it's a strange thing. Many people are becoming aware, and they're no longer just accepting everything they're told. And there is no substitute for personal observation. Once you begin to look at things for yourself, you quickly discover, hey, wait a minute, this is not what I was told in school. This is not what, you know, my politicians are telling me. I am seeing something totally different. And we do see many, many people now who have kind of caught on to the shenanigans of, I guess, the ruling class. I hate to use words like Illuminati because they don't mean much to me. I mean, who are we talking about? I don't know who we're talking about,
right.
I guess.
I was going to say, I did a show with this person who wrote a book called The Perfectibilists, and he had researched the Illuminati all the way back, and he found that technically they don't exist now. But everyone's throwing that word around, building the specter of the Illuminati. Technically, he says, if you go through the letters and the literature the Illuminati technically stopped existing somewhere back
well,
then.
Well, yeah, you know, it's a funny thing. When you really begin to understand and look around, the system of control that is in place, the fabric of our society, is so mind-blowingly intricate. It's hard to consider that human beings could even pull it off, for one, when you begin to see the extent of what we're talking about here. And if that is correct, you're never going to have a clue who's doing it. I mean, the system is that good. So certainly, you know, putting the Masons up as a straw man or anyone else, mm-hmm. when people see the encoding that they know they can link to Freemasonry historically, the truth is the average guy at a Masonic lodge, he comes home and takes care of a family. I don't think he has any inkling of this kind of, you know, overwhelming control we see emerging, you know, globally. It's a funny thing. You know, they're looking for something that I don't think they're ever going to see. The system is that well built.
Mm-hmm. However, there is a book written back in the 70s called People of the Secret. And that includes, I guess, the whole realm of secret organizations that in the realm of the occult, etc. So that they do exist. They are involved on some level, but it's not one specific group or another. But going back to what you said, having to film the moon, chemtrails, chemplanes, UFOs yourself gives you the conviction to begin to speak about it and not relying on other people's footage or other organizations' footage. Once you do that, you notice that a lot of other people are filming the same thing. And with this lunar wave, how many other people caught the same thing?
So I'm going to throw out some numbers. I just got back from a road trip, and I had found lunar wave footage in footage I had shot one night during heavy chemtrailing. First time I reviewed it, I didn't see it. I thought it was all just chem debris over the moon. Mm-hmm. Having said this, I believe we are at 14 captures by 9 different people. 6 of those captures would be mine. But there are a lot of people now getting old scopes out, getting new scopes, dusting off their telephoto lens cameras, and there's a lot of people taking an interest in getting at this. I mentioned Houston Skywatch earlier. The whole reason that I took time out of my road trip to go track down a kind of obscure channel is because I knew for a fact that for over a year, this young man had been out there doing the work, and the work is difficult. You film for many hours hoping to catch a few seconds of valuable footage. So he had stuck with it all this time, and I had made a prediction right before I went on my road trip around the country to film that our best chance, in my view, knowing everything that I have learned, using that as my basis, that the next best chance to film the lunar wave will be from the 20th of September to the 30th of September, with the fall equinox falling on the 23rd. Bear in mind that the best capture of the lunar wave we have was shot in 2012 on the 26th near the fall equinox. So having made that prediction, I stopped in, I talked to him, and when I posted the interview online, we just see a lot of people stepping up saying, hey, I want to be part of this. I want to try to film, which is fantastic, because what has happened to me here is that every time we approach a full moon, chemtrailing picks up so heavily that quite often I can't film the lunar cycle, which was one big reason I went out on this road trip to escape the kind of constant chemtrailing. This year, from the spring equinox in March all the way up into the summer months, every lunar cycle was obscured to some degree by chemtrailing. So I know I kind of wandered off what you asked me, but my point is there are a lot of people looking now. So regardless of what happens to me or my channel, it's a known thing now, and there are a lot of people aware of it, and there are a lot of people trying to film.
Something I've noticed, and I would never have noticed this or seen this pattern if I was not out filming chemtrails. The chemtrail activity, at least out here in the Northeast, increases during the solstice and equinoxes. I wonder if you've seen similar patterns.
Yeah, I think that's a given. But what I, on the tail of this road trip, and I had already known many things about chemtrailing, I talked to people on the eastern seaboard in Virginia specifically that told me they have never seen a sunset or a sunrise in over 2.5 years due to chemtrailing. Well, what I had noticed was that all over the place where chemtrailing is going on, which is virtually everywhere, but having gone through the middle of the country, I now understand why some people are unaware of it because it's not obvious or it's a much lower level than what we see on the coasts. Having said this, they're blocking the sunsets, sunrises, and the moon near full, and moon rises and moon sets. It's a very vexing thing. You kind of get to the point where, am I really seeing what I think I'm seeing? And if I'm correct, why would they be blocking these times? So, you know, on my channel, I've urged people, whenever you can, film that sunset, film that sunrise. Same with the moon, because clearly, if chemtrails were about blocking solar radiation, if that was one of the things they were about, you would think the middle of the day would be the most important time to do that. And while we do see this, it's almost like clockwork that you can look out at a horizon at sunset in certain areas, and to the right will be clear relatively to the left, but right where that sun is going down, there's a big blob, a smear kind of blocking the view. So it's crazy. And in Virginia, I was staggered. I have never seen anything like it. As I got down below Washington, chemtrailing began to increase. When I was in Virginia, my mind was blown. While I have seen some heavy chemtrailing days here on the West Coast, I've never seen anything like that. Any minute of the day, you could go out and they are spraying high level, mid level, low level. And according to the people who live there, this goes on daily with very few exceptions. I mean, it's staggering.
We're speaking with Crow777, that's his YouTube handle, about something called the lunar wave. We'll be right back after this break. If you've just tuned in right now, we're speaking with Crow777, that's his YouTube handle, about his footage of the moon and very interesting anomalies that he's caught.
What are your thoughts on the actual aircraft that are spraying? Have you noticed any anomalies in some of your footage that you've captured?
Yeah, I have. You know, there were a lot of people trying to say that they were holograms and these other things, and I discount nothing. But what I do is I go out and personally shoot, and I need to have the observation and the video evidence to make a call. And I was very conscious of all the things that were being said about these planes. For the longest time, what I noticed was many of them don't show up on flight radar, or if they do, they disappear, or they don't have call numbers. The ones that I've been able to shoot close enough often have no numbers on them at all, which is strange. A lot of them are plain white. When they're really, really high, they kind of almost look like a cookie-cutter white plane with no markings, although occasionally you see red stripes or blue stripes, and occasionally you can see on flight radar that they seem to be associated with an Air Force base. But while I was on the East Coast in New England, we were filming just an onslaught over the city of Newport, which many people are probably familiar with. We were quite a ways away from the island Newport is on, and I was shooting the sunsets because they were being blocked. And the planes were very sly. They were all high, mid-altitude planes doing what they were doing in not such an obvious way. Well, we three people standing there with me filming spotted a black dot, and so I got my telephoto on it, and it was in fact a plane. But it was glowing in a weird way. So I shot two stills and prepared to click over to video, and I told one of the people standing with me, get the binoculars on it, and it just disappeared. It was gone. And I had two clear stills. I haven't posted them yet. I will. And it looks almost like the glow, what would be the glow from the sun, except the sun has already gone down behind the horizon. It looks like jets of flame coming down from the bottom of this thing. Not that I'm suggesting that's what it is, but that's the appearance it gives you. And I got two high-res stills of this thing before it just totally left our, you know, no one saw it disappear, but it just wasn't there. We couldn't pick it up. I had a telephoto. We had binoculars. I wanted to get it on video. That was the closest I had come to capturing something in the realm of what people are showing and saying, look, these planes are holograms or they're cloaked or they're something other than planes. So I can't really speak to whether I think that's true, but I do in fact have that footage, which I will post. I do have footage now that kind of suggests the planes might be doing something weird, but I can't base that on two simple stills. I need more evidence. And while I have kind of seen these weird glowing sheens that come off the plane, quite often it's hard to distinguish whether that's coming from a sun going down or something else altogether. I just need more footage. But from my view now, we're looking at mechanical devices. I don't know if they're manned. I mean, there's been a lot of talk about these could all be drones, which I think, yeah, technology demonstrates. Maybe there is no one flying these things. I don't know. But they're clearly something that we should all be filming and taking notice of because it is ramping up. And, I mean, I can't underscore enough. What I saw on the East Coast was jaw-dropping. And it began to pick up as I left New England and got down to Baltimore, D.C. area. By the time I was down to Virginia, it was a nightmare. I mean, I don't know how people live there under those conditions. It was just staggering.
Yeah, what's also staggering is the silence of the people saying anything about this. You know, going into the third decade of, an increased aerosol operation over this country and other parts of the world, just muted.
You know, it seems like there's very large portions of the population still that are just simply, to be blunt about it, very programmed by cable news. And that is their truth. And so, you know, if cable news doesn't tell them that there's chemtrails, they're never going to even consider it. There are just huge numbers of people who, for whatever reason, and I have no idea what that reason is, whether it's genetic or just symptomatic of where they live, they just do not get that what you're being told out of that black box in front of you called a television has no basis in reality, and it is an agenda delivering device. They can go out and see these, and what the TV has told them is their contrails, and that's their truth. And it's very unfortunate because it's very clear that probably in the first place, in the modern high bypass jet engine, contrails aren't that prevalent anymore. I've lived in a flight path for 10 years. I have never filmed a single passenger commercial airplane leaving any kind of a trail, contrail or otherwise. And I filmed them on the same day that, you know, these other planes, these white planes, these high-level planes, mid-low-level planes are spraying out the back. So it's a bit astonishing that so many people in our community still cannot understand that there is something pretty drastic going on.
On another topic, I noticed that you shoot also with a full-spectrum camera. Tell us about why you chose that and what have you captured with it?
The full-spectrum camera, just so people understand what we're talking about, your eye sees a very narrow sliver of light. You can go online and look up what the visual spectrum is. It's a very small portion of the overall light spectrum. The full-spectrum camera that I have goes slightly into UV and slightly into IR, which are two ends of the spectrum that we don't see into. Now, the modern kind of commercially available cameras don't go very far into these spectrums, but it is enough to really give you a light boost and maybe add some detail that your eye wouldn't see. The reason I chose it is for lunar work, because if I move off the moon using auto lighting techniques, I can keep the sky lit even when it's pitch black enough to track objects and other things. So that's why I use it. And so primarily I have used it to film chemtrails recently, and lunar work mostly.
Was there a UFO that you filmed with that as well?
I just posted footage from my trip where we were filming the moon, and I finally used the telescope to track a chem plane, which is a very difficult thing to do. Telescopes are not made to track a moving object, but I tracked over, got this chem plane in frame for 7 minutes, longest I've ever been able to do it, and I figured out some things about how it's possible to use the scope in that way, which has to do with how your scope is pointed and the trajectory of the plane. Having said this, we went back to the moon after I got the footage, and I have posted that footage, very telling footage, through an 11-inch scope, a 40,000-foot chem plane. I tried to do it again. As I got over with my telescope on it, there was a very bright dot, which I thought was an orb. At the time, I started to think, well, wait a minute, is this a star? Is it possible? The sun was not down, so I was thinking there's nothing bright enough in the sky right now. We got out Stellarium, we got binoculars, we got all these things. We could not ID it as a star, and I had reference points. I could see Saturn, I could see Antares and Scorpius, and this thing was just in a place where nothing bright was, yet we couldn't see it with our eyes, and the full spectrum camera was seeing it. This is one of the last clips I posted, so sorry, you asked me if I filmed anything. That's an unusual thing. And to top it off, I shot Saturn on the same night, and the magnitude, the brightness magnitude of this object is actually brighter than Saturn, which is saying something, because when Saturn's up, it's one of the brightest things in the sky outside of the Moon and Venus.
And I'm curious what your thoughts are. If you can see a spherical planet through a telescope, what are your thoughts on the flat Earth theory?
To be completely honest, I have no interest in being part of any kind of flat Earth organization or group of people pushing to demonstrate this. The reason is because what I see in that community is a lot of he's a shill, you know, she's a shill, this person doesn't have it right, this person doesn't believe what I believe. It's just not helpful in my view. Having said this, I have said for years now that the world that we live on, the sun, the moon, and space have all been misdescribed intentionally. And I guess for now, that's as far as I'm going to go. On my trip, I did some distance shooting. I used the Great Lakes up in Michigan to shoot 180 horizon shots on the water. And it's no secret anymore that you cannot pick up the expected curvature doing these types of tests. But other than that, I will present video evidence as I have it. I will shun any formal kind of involvement in the Flat Earth movement or groups, because it is my sense that the individual doing the work will contribute more that is more valuable than these kind of form groups, which tend to just be a cluster, to be frank.
Well, you've attracted a lot of attention from mainstream media and alternative media, and your numbers are up there on your YouTube channel, which is really interesting. Have you experienced any censorship from YouTube at all?
Oh, of course. I mean, you can never trust a sub count. You can never trust video hit counts. I mean, I had posted, I think it was with the shooting orb clip, was it the shooting orb or was it the exploding thing that I filmed? It was one of those two clips. I can't remember. It's been a couple years now. It was my wife yelling chem bomb. It was the chem bomb clip that someone had embedded on a website they had. And so when they embed it, what it means is I can see traffic, right? So they've just taken the code from YouTube and embedded it into a website so that all the traffic that occurs registers in my stats. Mm-hmm. Well, he contacted me, and he sent me an email and said, look at the hit count. And I went and looked at the hit count, and it had only been up for, I don't know, a week or two, and it had over 1 million hits on that one page that only had that video embedded.
Oh.
Now, this page went away. Like 3 or 4 days later, I went back to show someone, and it was gone. It was a 404, and I've checked a lot of times since, and it's just not there. And when I look at my hit count to this day, 2 years later, I think I'm at 300,000 or something. That's kind of evidence of what is going on. And the object that I filmed was like this big round weather balloon-looking thing, which we believe was dropped out of a chem plane. We hadn't seen chem trailing in quite some time. There was a perfectly blue sky, and a low-level persistent trail was being laid. We ran in, got my telescope out to try to track it, and as the second plane came by, leaving now the second trail in the air slightly higher, my wife spotted the object immediately under the trail, and we filmed it until it kind of blew up and all this debris fell out of it. So that was the clip in question.
It's a really good clip. I don't know what that is, but it did burst open, and whatever debris came out of it fell over a suburban area.
Yeah, it was shocking. You know, that's the thing about when you witness something like that, your heart's kind of beating. When we first saw it, I thought I was looking at an orb close up for the first time. It wasn't, of course. It was some kind of a weather balloon-like device. And the funny thing about it was, you see weather balloons, they've always got a tether. There was no tether. It was perfectly round. But when it blew up, all this crap fell out of it over houses, miles of houses. No way to tell where that thing came down through the kind of network of streets that's in that direction. But this little red ember-looking thing with a maybe a 10 or a 12-foot tether unpacked out of it and fell. And at the time, I was tracking the brightest thing, which ended up being the kind of container that blew up. That's what I could see best. And it was the wrong thing to have tracked, though we do have footage of this kind of ember thing, bright red ember thing falling with a long tether spinning around on the bottom. And, you know, in hindsight, I kind of concluded that I think it was likely that that thing was collecting data or tracking information about how they were chemtrailing or something to that effect.
Has anyone else caught something similar, have you noticed?
You know, it was funny because a lot of people wanted to come in the gate and say, you idiot, that was a weather balloon, which is fine because, I mean, it resembles that. And they even provided weather balloon footage where weather balloons were popping. My problem was is that we're 90% certain that was dropped out of the second chem plane over houses. And then we looked into kind of the rules that govern how weather balloons are launched. Some of the rules that I think we saw at the time was you're not supposed to do it near airports under most conditions. You have to ask permission. There's a limit on the flight time. I don't remember what it is now, but there's some limit, and you have to have, I believe, and I hope I'm not murdering all this information, you have to have two methods of ending the flight of the balloon, and you have to report in every 15 or 30 minutes or something like this. So there were all these rules that kind of demonstrated it was very unlikely that this was a weather balloon. And then to top it off, we were almost certain, because we were looking at the sky, it wasn't there, the plane went by, and it was immediately in the path where the first plane had just gone and immediately under where the second plane had gone. And so, you know, it's another one of these things where, you know, here we are looking at chemtrails and weird stuff is happening. How can you not correlate, you know, there's an association of some kind. So the real honest answer is we did not see it come out of the plane, but we really do feel that it is likely it was dropped because the whole time we filmed it, it fell. There was never a point in the footage where it was going up. And to top it off, in the footage, and I know this because I was using telescope controls, so I was using declination to go down the whole time. And so the other weird thing was it was going against the wind. You can see the chemtrail in the footage pushing to the south where this object is kind of falling slightly to the north.
It's really bizarre. That's another great piece of footage that you captured, and I've never seen anything like that. I've seen the orbs, but...
Well, I learned an important lesson on that clip because I'm unfortunately named it, is this a chem bomb being dropped over San Diego? And at the time, my wife said, you shouldn't be giving it a sensational name. You know, my heart was still beating, and I did it anyhow. And, you know, on hindsight, I went back and renamed everything. I learned the lesson about trying to be very direct, open, and honest, and very careful not to be too sensational, you know.
The word bomb might not be the best choice.
Well, at the time, I felt that's what had stuck in my mind. I hadn't gone back to review the video or anything like that, and what was sticking out was just the sheer volume of kind of particulate junk that had come out over where I know miles and miles of suburban houses are. That's at the moment that I was doing that, that's what was in my mind. Of course, you go back, review the footage, and then you come down to earth from the excitement of the moment, and you kind of realize, well, wait a minute, there's this thing inside. It had a tether. You know, it's clearly some kind of a device being deployed.
I wonder what fell to the surface. I mean, is there any way to follow up on that information?
Well, here's the problem. I tracked it until the roof of my house blocked me, and having a general idea of the direction and no idea of the distance it was, you know, literally impossible to try to go out and find it. But we talked later because so many people sent weather balloon footage in, and I looked into weather balloons. I thought what would be ironic is what if that little device that was unpacked when it blew up, what if it was like some weather balloons where it falls to the ground and it says, please mail me or call this number so we can come collect it, so that people were actually helping them, you know, gather data on their chemtrailing.
Right.
I just thought that would be ironic if that's how that happened. Because clearly something fell and, you know, it had a tether and it was glowing red, so you would imagine someone probably wanted to collect that.
There's so many things going on with these aerosol operations, and it's as secret as UFOs or aliens at this point. And it took the scientist who has written in the past about how corrupt science is. He wrote a great article in the Dot Connector magazine. He's been the only scientist who has done a scientific paper on what he suspects is being delivered, the content of the aerosol out of these planes.
Well, you know, that's one of the big problems with science, isn't it? Funding controls the day. And if you want to look into things that people don't want you to look at, they pull your funding. Or they give you funding and say, you'll look at this and, you know, you'll report in a way that we want to hear about because we just gave you $1 million. And that's one of the problems with science, and that's one of the problems with universities, where even on the Big Bang Theory, you know, one of the head of the university asked all the little science guys, what's this place about? And he said, fundraising. That's what it's about. We have to get funding to do the things that we do. But to kind of put a fine point on what you just said about science kind of being a religion and corrupt, get anyone listening to this to go back and look at the kind of God particle announcement from CERN when the Higgs boson announcement came out. It is the most painful bit of footage that was broadcast on Nova on KPBS that you will ever see. It really demonstrates just kind of the wholesale control and absurdity about what these top physics guys are pushing out to the public. It's clearly, clearly ridiculousness, and yet they are presenting it as if it was serious. And when I saw that, there was little doubt in my mind that, you know, to get any scientist that's not an independent guy to provide anything that matters, I mean, I don't even know how you'd go about that. You'd have to be unaffiliated with universities or other places that require funding, and then you'd have to be able to publish in avenues that aren't going to get censored. And, I mean, is that even possible in the modern day to any degree?
Dr. J. Marvin Herndon has done it somehow, and I really commend him. And he's getting a lot of attention from Europe because of this, because, as we know, these aerosol operations are worldwide.
I'm not familiar with the gentleman. I hope you're correct, and I hope, you know, someone is standing up and doing the right thing. I'm just not familiar with what he's done. And as I mentioned before, my first kind of hearing about the coal dust thing, my immediate reaction was it sounded like misinformation. But to be fair, I have not looked into it. I film. That's what I do. And to be double fair, I'm not familiar with this gentleman at all, even though he lives in my city, I guess.
All right, so no one goes above the Earth's orbit. The moon is possibly a hologram. The accuracy of what we've been told by established science about the known configuration of our solar system could be wrong. What are some of your thoughts and theories on what this configuration really is?
Well, that's a very difficult thing to answer, and I think the best way that I have arrived at to address this is to just take the simple no-nonsense approach. When I go out at night and I point my telescope up, what I am seeing is light, period. That's what we have to go on. I've already stated that the moon is, for lack of a better description, some kind of a facade that is a light. It is emitting its own light. And I've done videos on this about how when the moon is full, there's no shadow fall off around the edges. And, you know, you can do these tests in your backyard with a very bright light source and any kind of an orb. An object that's round always has shadow fall off on the edges. The moon doesn't have this. And there's other reasons, too. I've used prisms and other things. In my view, what we can understand about what we're seeing is that there's light up there. And that's about it. And the idea that these things are round or in orbit or all this other stuff, this has been delivered to you through Star Wars, through Captain Kirk, through NASA. So you've had kind of Hollywood paint the picture of what space is, and you've had an entity called NASA, which has a history of lying, tell you what it is. And I always mention, as a citizen in this country, if you go into court, if you're dragged into court, and I hope this never happens to anyone listening because it's another whole thing we could talk about, but if you're in front of the judge and you're caught lying, all your testimony running up to that point is no longer admissible, nor is anything you will say from that point on. That is the standard you are held to as a citizen. You go into this official kind of courtroom environment, you're caught lying, basically nothing is acceptable from you anymore. You're just a liar, right? That's the standard. People need to learn to hold the officialdom in this world to the same standard. Now, if NASA wants to come back at some point, like there was a Interstellar, in Interstellar, there's some portion of it where they're reprinting the textbooks to say, yeah, the moon landings never happened, but it was a brilliant piece of kind of psyop for the U.S. to bankrupt Russia, which is ridiculous on the face of it, because Russia, I believe, was around to somewhere like 89, Christmas of 89, or somewhere in that area. I don't know the date. Point is, we've caught NASA lying so many times about so many things, and whether or not they think they had a good reason to do it, the point is they lied. Now, if you want to hold them to the standard you are held to, that means we can't accept data from them anymore because it's untrustworthy. So I know you asked me what I think it all is, and the best answer I can give you is we are looking at light. That's all we know right now. And if we want to know more, we have to get enough people to understand there is reason to question what they are seeing up there. If that begins to happen, then I think we'll start to get more concrete answers that we can refer to.
I appreciate you trying to answer, but yes, it's more questions at this point than answers. And I think that's the right direction to go into, especially based on empirical work, such as the work you're doing and others around the country and I guess this continent, and posting on YouTube. I think it's fantastic. Crow777, thank you so much for being on In Other News. I really enjoyed this.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Join me again on Dark Matter Radio.